Alleluia, 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 alleluia. I am the good shepherd, says the Lord. I know my sheep and mine know me. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, Amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice, as he calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all of his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow, because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him, because they do not recognize the voice of strangers. Although Jesus used this figure of speech, they did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So he said again, Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and to slaughter and to destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
My remarks tonight will be fairly brief because we have a First Communion practice that we're trying to get turned around for. But two things I want us to note. The first thing is this whole business of gates. I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of how stone fences and gates worked in the ancient Near East, but there would literally be a hole in the fence, and the shepherd would sleep in the hole so the sheep couldn't get out at night. So that the shepherd is literally the gate. The sheep can't get out without going past it, or you get stepped on by the sheep, which I presume you would notice. It also means that the Lord Jesus is drawing on an image people already know when he says the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He physically lays it down, and he likewise takes it up again, even as he spoke about yesterday. The impact here, right, the direction is about the centrality and the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus. That everyone who is saved by him. That there is an essential relationship between the person of Jesus Christ, God made man, and all men who come to life in God. The other thing is the way that the tradition has often typified this, and that's where the whole business of St. George and the dragon comes in. Dragons are, of course, important images throughout the cultures of most peoples. They're not always bad, but in the tradition that this is coming from, they are. And the dragon is almost always after a virgin, not just a young girl, but specifically a virgin, an unmarried woman whose virtue is in some way up for grabs. Because the dragon always represents what's evil. It's not so much about sex as it is about sin. The dragon is the tempter. It's a dragon because it's attached to that primal serpent who whispers sin in secret in our ear and tries to tempt us into something awful. The whole history in Western Europe of the knight coming to slay the dragon comes from this history of St. George, who in that first and oldest story saves a maiden's virtue. But he's not a prince, so he's not going off in search of the princess so that she can so that he can have her for his wife. His only concern is to keep this woman holy. What is our concern for one another? What are the ways, the means, the values that we use in our relationships with each other? And are they ultimately for the benefit, the eternal salvation of the other? Or are they for something else?